Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of What We Said,
What
Podcast.
We Said Podcast.
Oh my gosh, that was horrible.
It's trying to harmonize with you.
If you're new around here, thanks for joining us today. It's a good Tuesday. I think this episode's going to hopefully benefit everyone who listens anyone.
I'm hoping it benefits me as well.
Yeah. Well, I think anyone can kind of relate to the stuff we're talking about and hopefully take some good things away. Mm-hmm. But first, we're going to do a little segment called Our Favorite Healthy Snacks.
Ooh, creative name.
Really unique. We were just talking. We're like, what could we share on the podcast that would be, you know, something fun that's a favorite right now? And we're like, let's do favorite snacks. So I'll go first. Something that I've been eating a lot lately are Go Macro bars. And
love Go Macro.
They're so good. So I'd seen them around, but I'd never had them. And then I was lucky enough for them to send me a box of them probably like 5 months ago. And then ever since, they've always been on my list to buy them.
Yeah.
When I grocery shop and whenever I see them, I get one as a little snack. My favorites are the sunflower butter and I think it's and chocolate chip and the peanut butter and chocolate chip. I love the ones that have chocolate chips in them because it gives it a little crunch. But I really love any of them. And they get sometimes kind of warm. Like I'll leave it in my car and it'll get kind of warm.
Yeah, it's like kind of gooey.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's so good.
Yeah.
So that's my favorite right now.
They also have, for people like me who can't really eat peanut butter, and I always get so sad because usually the best bars have peanut butter in them. Mm-hmm. And like peanut butter makes me break out really bad. They have like nut-free ones now. So the one that they sent me was like oat. I think you got the same
oatmeal
one.
Chocolate chip?
Yeah, oatmeal chocolate chip.
So good.
So
too.
Good. So you guys, there's options.
They're really
the best. Good. Okay, my healthy snack is, I actually talked about this in my YouTube video that hopefully at some point goes up. So hopefully it'll be up by now. But I get a cuss on the podcast for the first time because it's called Bitchin' Sauce. That's what it's called.
Nice.
I'm like, I'm gonna say it again. Bitchin' Sauce. It's hummus, but it's made out of almonds instead of chickpeas. So it has like a really unique consistency, but I love the texture of it. It's great for carrots, obviously. Like you can dip chips in it if you want. I love dipping sweet bell peppers, like the mini ones. Do you like mini sweet bell peppers?
Here's the thing. I'm gonna be honest. I had that sauce one time. Is it really sauce? It's called sauce? Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I had the dip one time. And are there different flavors?
Yeah.
Because I wasn't thoroughly enjoying it. And
really?
I was like, really?
Which kind was it?
I think it was just original or something. Because I was really,
really
mad. Not mad. Like, I was furious. I was bummed because I've heard so much good stuff about it. And I was like, why don't I like this?
Really? Well, there's another hummus.
Okay.
I think you've tried this one. I don't think it's available everywhere, but you can go on their website. It's Majestic Garlic.
Yeah.
The best hummus I have ever tried.
I
but it's made with
hummus.
Chickpeas. If you don't like that, you can go for Bitchin' Sauce, which is great. It's definitely a different taste for sure than like actual, you know, hummus.
Mm-hmm.
But Majestic Garlic is super good. So either of those, because it you can eat vegetables, but it's still good. Like, I love sweet bell peppers dipped in hummus. It's like my favorite thing.
It's a good snack. I love carrots dipped in hummus.
Yeah, it's true.
Sweet. Okay, well, today's episode, you guys, is about productivity. Previously, I was calling it productivity for the past 2 months as Chelsea and I have been talking about this topic. And I researched it and found out it is pronounced productivity. So, Just so you know. But like I said, this podcast is hopefully going to be filled with lots of good information, little nuggets that you guys can take away. I actually hate the word nuggets so much, but
I know. I've been using it last time.
I've been using it multiple times. I'm like, you can get a little gold nugget.
I hear on podcasts all the time.
Yeah.
People always say like little nuggets, but I'm like, what else do you call it?
Right. Like little
tidbits.
Tidbits of information. Anyway, if you were ever to take notes on one of our podcast episodes, I would say this would be a good one to pull out the notebook or just, you know, have your notes
app. But not if you're driving.
Not if you're driving, but have the notes app up on your phone and kind of jot down some things just because at least when I was – so we're going to talk about this book that we read, but when I was reading the book, I was constantly taking notes just because there's so much good stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
So Chelsea and I recently both read this book called The Productivity Project by Chris Bailey, and – it is really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good read. It's very, very valuable. Has lots of takeaways. I liked that he gave a lot of like tangible things that you can actually do instead of like giving you,
tasks.
Yeah, like tasks that can really help you with your productivity. So first thing I wanted to ask you is if you would consider yourself a productive person.
This is really hard. I feel like yes and no. I mean, I know that's such a classic answer, but I'm not one that has to be productive or I feel like depressed, because I feel like you're kind of are like that. If you're not super productive, and I feel like I can get away with like having a pretty chill day and I'm not like, oh, I wasn't super productive today.
Mm-hmm.
But he actually talks about this in his book where it's saying like it's not necessarily how much you do, but like what you
accomplish.
Yeah, what you accomplish and like what your intentions are with it. So it's like you just do meaningless things all day. It's like you could have done a lot of things technically, but it could mean nothing to you. So I feel like I am productive when I am really passionate about something, obviously. Like I go full force. I'm like planning. I'm super like time efficient. I'm really good at being time efficient and like getting things done in time and like all of that. But I'm not the kind of person that's like just doing so much every day.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. That was actually the first note I had written down is that productivity is about how much you accomplish, not necessarily how much you do.
Yeah.
And he was saying that. He was saying it is all about the goals you set, because if you set a goal for the day that you want to have the most relaxing day, and then you do accomplish that, like you relax for a majority of the day and you have a great chill day, then you are productive because that was the goal you set.
Mm-hmm.
So it really does depend on your goals. Something that he mentioned is that there are three ingredients to productivity, and they are time, energy, and attention.
Yeah.
And I had it written down to check page 15, so I'm going to do that right now.
Well, you know what is interesting? Because, like, obviously time, I feel like I knew that. And, like, wait, what was the third one?
Time, energy, and attention.
Oh, yeah. Attention, I knew that one was one. But energy, I never really thought of. Like, when he went into, like, energy and how much energy you have, I was, like, very into that part. Because I'm like, oh, I try and do things when I am feeling the worst. And
right.
I'm just like, well, I have to just push through it at this point. And I never thought about, again, we'll get into this later, but doing things at optimal times when you're feeling the most energized.
Definitely.
And like how to find energy.
Yeah. And he words it the best. I'm going to see if I can find. Okay, yeah, this is what I loved. This is what I had to read. So it says, for example, getting enough sleep requires more time, but it boosts your energy and ability to manage your attention. Eliminating noise and distractions also takes time, but it helps you manage your attention better because it provides you with more focus and clarity throughout the day. Changing your mindset takes energy and attention, but it will let you get more done in less time.
Yeah.
So they all work together and they're all equally important. And so someone who just barrels through and doesn't even get sleep because they're working so hard and blah, blah, blah. It's like, that's not necessarily productive. Like, you need sleep, which, yeah, mm-hmm. It's going to take your time away. But just as important as time is your energy levels. And you need sleep to have, optimal energy levels and to give things your attention. So it's like they all work hand in hand. And it's kind of just a balance.
Finding a balance.
To figure that out.
Yeah. To find how you can be the most productive.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm starting to almost say productive.
Yeah, you can say productive.
productive.
But it's just productive.
Yeah.
So first step in becoming more productive is to figure out why you want to be more productive and what it is that you want to accomplish. And so he was basically saying, if you are investing so many hours in like taking on new habits or routines, it's kind of a waste if you don't actually care about what the changes are that you're trying to make.
Mm-hmm.
And also you won't have the motivation to sustain those changes.
Yeah.
So does that make sense?
Yeah. I think that's extremely true because I see so many people that like run around like chickens with their heads cut off because it's just like, what are you doing? I had a boss at one job that would tell us to do these tasks. And at a certain point, I started asking him, I'm like, okay, but what is the point of me doing this task? Like, I kind of feel like you're just trying to keep me busy. And I feel like it does nothing good. Like, so if you can explain to me like what the meaning of this is, I first of all, will probably get it done faster and better. But when I feel like it's meaningless, I'm just like, there's no point like in keeping me busy. It. Yeah. It's not doing anybody any good.
Mm-mm. And it kind of goes into, like, I think a lot of people, they do want to become healthier. They do want to create habits for themselves and become more productive. But it's like, until you define a clear goal of why you want to be more productive, for example, I think I want to be more productive with work stuff so that I have more free time to, like, do things that I love and spend time with my family and my friends and feel justified in, like, kind of quitting, you know, putting work aside for that time. Whereas when I don't feel productive, I feel like I have to be constantly doing stuff. Even when I am with friends or family, I'm like so stressed because I feel like I haven't gotten as much accomplished as I wanted to. And that's probably because I'm not being super time efficient. So my whole goal behind being productive and having good habits is to free up more of my time so that I can spend that doing more things to relax and, you know, kind of enjoy. Take it easy and enjoy.
Yeah.
So I think kind of defining what that is, where whether that's that you want to be more productive in your job to, what's the word
make
I'm looking
more
for?
Money.
Yeah, to make more money or become more successful in that specific thing. Like, that's perfectly fine. It's just defining what it is you're going after so that you have a clear idea of what you're trying to do.
Yeah, and I think because you do have that long-term goal in mind, it's so much easier to do the little tasks throughout the day that might seem meaningless, where it's like, oh my gosh, like I have to do the dishes every single day. I have to put them away, like whatever. In my mind, sometimes I'm like, this is such a waste of my time. Like, what is this actually doing for me? But in the long run, it's like, well, I want to have a clean house so that I can get work done and then I won't be stressed and that my mind can be clear because I'm in a nice environment that I've created for myself. So you have to look at like the bigger picture. And I think that's what he was trying to get at too. It's like, you will feel so unproductive if you have no intention or no
motivation.
Like, yeah, no motivation.
No, that's true. And sometimes you do have to look at the bigger picture. And that's something he mentioned. And I wish I had a note written on that because I do remember him talking about kind of how – well, actually, we'll go into that when we talk about procrastination a little later in this episode. So
– well, the one exercise that he said for that – and I don't know if you're about to say this, but he basically says, like, ask yourself, what is meaningful to you? So if, like, you're listening and you want to take notes, like, ask yourself what's meaningful to you and, like, what is your intention? Basically in life, like, what are you trying to accomplish? Because otherwise you have no direction. I don't know if he was saying this or Ed Milet said this on a podcast. Milet?
Yeah.
Oh.
Sorry, Ed.
He said,
sorry,
like,
Ed, wanna be on
only
the podcast?
A certain, like, a small percentage of people actually
write
have
their goals.
Yeah, have their goals written down, which is kind of crazy.
And I'm one of those people who doesn't.
Same.
I don't.
Like, there have been times in my life where, like, I'll do exercise like that where I'm like, oh, my goals. But then I forget.
Right. It is important, and that's something we actually mentioned on one of our past episodes, is that I'll listen to inspiring podcasts all the time or, like, talks or things where I really get a lot of value from them, but then I don't write anything down, so I honestly forget about them by the next day.
And it does nothing for you.
Yeah, and if you write it down, you're so much more likely to, I don't know, look back on that, stick to it, remember it, versus just being like, oh, that was a good, I liked that, and then moving on.
Yeah.
If you don't write anything down, you'll forget. At least I do.
Yeah, because then if you know what's meaningful to you and you know, like, your intentions and you have your goal in mind, because he says, I think, it's not about doing more, it's about doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you're like, oh, I need to be more productive, like, I need to add more things to my list. Like, maybe just reevaluate what's on your list.
Yeah.
And see if it's, like, aligning with your goal.
Definitely. So he talks about, this is something I liked that he talked about, is that he always dreamed about being an early riser. And he wanted so badly to wake up at 5:30 a.m. every day, have a set morning routine. But after actually doing that for a while, I think he did it for 3 weeks or maybe even longer.
Yeah.
It was even 3 months. I can't remember the amount of time. But he stuck to it for a while. And he realized he actually wasn't very happy doing that. And he said, all of us are wired differently. And there truly are people who they work better at night. They work better if they can get up a little bit later in the day. And he said for him specifically, at that point in life, when he was kind of doing this as an experiment for this whole, you know, for his book
project,
and his project. But he said, when I was waking up every morning at, I think it's 5:30 a.m., he had to say no to a lot of things. He had to say no to hanging out with his friends and his girlfriend because he had to go to bed earlier because otherwise he wouldn't get enough sleep. And he was just saying everyone's wired differently and getting up super early is actually not necessarily better. It's all about what you do with the hours that you are awake.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what determines how productive you are actually.
Yeah.
So someone who gets up at 5:30 a.m. and gets going, they're not necessarily more productive than someone who wakes up at 8:30 and has their own routine. You have to figure out what works for your life and your schedule.
Yeah. Well, and leading into that, another thing that when I was mentioning like the energy thing,
mm-hmm.
is when he talked about, I think it's BPT. Am I correct on that?
I don't know what you're saying.
Or basically your optimal like energy times during the day. So there are certain hours of the day where your energy spikes up and everyone's different. Like you said, like some people have it in the morning, some people have it later. I feel like mine drastically drops from like, basically 3 p.m. on. But at like a certain point in the night, everyone kind of feels like that point where it like goes up for a minute and then comes back down. But he's saying if you notice those times, like do the highest impact tasks at those points when you have the most energy. Because I feel like at like 9 or 10, I'm like
on fire,
ready to go. And I do the dumbest things during those times. Like I was thinking about that. I'm like, yeah, I'm an idiot. Like I'll start doing something at 2, which is nap time for most people. Like, that's such a waste of my energy. Like, I'll literally do the dumbest things at 9 or 10 where I'm like, going out to breakfast or something.
Right.
Like, I should be working on something that, like, a high-impact task.
And I think he even did – like, he took notes on that for himself. Like, he kind of – because obviously he's doing this project, but he went through each day and was like, at what point am I getting tired? At what point do I have the most energy? And he wrote that down so that he
actually
knew.
When do you feel like you're – just from guessing, not, you know, experimenting and writing it down, when do you feel like your optimal hours are?
I think kind of what you said, probably like between 10 and 2 p.m., I'm like ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of drop off for a few hours where around maybe 3 or 4, I get kind of tired. I'm like, every day I feel like, wow, this is kind of, I could take a nap right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or unless I'm super busy, I get kind of tired during those hours. And then I kind of get my energy back at probably 7 p.m. And I'm like ready to go again, which is so weird. And Leif is the opposite. We've talked about this. He's like ready to wind down. And I'm like, ooh, what can we work on? And he's like, excuse me. He's not down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of come alive at night again. And I like to actually work at night a little bit too. Like I like to wind down, but I also will be like on Pinterest getting some inspiration for stuff. Like that kind of excites me at night for some reason.
Well, and he was saying even things that you want to do, like fun tasks, you maybe shouldn't do those in like your optimal energy times. Like maybe you want to do something that's a little more boring to you or like something that's not as stimulating, like or something that's not creative basically.
Right.
So that like other times of the day when maybe you have low energy, you can get on and like do something that's a little more creative because your like motivation will go up a little bit. But something that you're like, I am dreading this, but I have like so much energy, I'm just going to whip it out and get it done right now. Which that's, I was like, true. Duh. I don't know why I never thought about this before.
Definitely. So there is a little challenge that he has in the book that I liked, and it's basically just asking yourself some questions to kind of figure out what your deepest held values are. And so he says, imagine this. As a result of implementing the tactics in this book, you have 2 more hours of leisure time every day. How will you use that time? What new things will you take on? What will you spend more time on? And I was telling Chelsea, that makes me so giddy to think about the fact that if you are more productive, you could potentially have hours left mm-hmm. over that you can do whatever you want. Like, you yeah. don't, you know, if you are more time efficient with the things that are important to you.
Well, maybe people already do that. But in the back of their mind, while they're doing those leisurely activities, like, oh, I really should be getting this stuff done.
Exactly. And that's kind of the goal, is to be able to do those things feeling no guilt.
Yeah.
But he says, go deep and ask yourself, what deep-rooted values are associated with your productivity goals? Why do you want to become more productive? If you find yourself coming up with a lot of values that you care deeply about, like community, relationships, freedom, learning, etc., chances are that you care about the goal on a deep personal level, and the change you have in mind is probably worth making. And so basically he says, if thinking about values is too daunting for you, then you can just fill in the blank. I deeply care about this because blank. And spin off as many reasons as you can to determine whether you care about each change on a deeper level. So basically he's just saying, to become more productive, you have to carve out more time for the things that are really meaningful to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point of what yeah. I'm trying to get at right here.
Well, and I think he talks about this, like getting burnt out. That's how people get burnt out. If you're just doing things and it seems like you have no enjoyment, you're like, what's the point of me working so hard if I enjoy nothing? Then that's when you will get so burnt out that it's like just a lose-lose.
Yeah, and you have no drive.
Yeah.
I am so freaking excited to tell you guys about Thrive Market. Chelsea and I both adore Thrive Market, and we're so excited to be partnering with them, and we're even more excited for you guys to try it and hop on board, because we know you guys will love it. Thrive Market is an online marketplace on a mission to make healthy living easy and affordable for everyone. So they offer the highest quality, healthy, and sustainable products available for every budget, lifestyle, and geography. I was just telling Chelsea, this is so good for people who, especially for people who don't live near like a health store or, you know, the more healthy grocery stores. I don't know what else I'd call that. Because obviously I'm lucky in LA to live next to a lot of those, but even throwing that aside, it's kind of just a hassle to go grocery shopping. It's not my favorite thing. So shopping at Thrive Market means supporting a select group of brands that make the world a better place. They sell non-GMO food, snacks, vitamins, supplements, personal care products, eco-friendly cleaning supplies. The list literally goes on, and it ships right to your door. It's basically the ideal situation. When you're shopping online, you can filter their selection by the values that matter to you. So you can shop by vegan foods, kosher, keto, gluten-free, like any type of diet that you follow, you can just search it and find the perfect foods that you want and the perfect items. So no more reading labels, because Thrive Market just does it for you. The shopping process with Thrive Market not only saves you time and money, it's honestly fun. I love this website, you guys. It like makes me giddy inside when I get on the website, and there's just endless possibilities of all this healthy, awesome food, and I know that it's good, clean ingredients. Thrive Market offers a highly curated catalog. Plus, with Thrive Market, you can get organic foods and natural products at 25 to 50% lower than retail price, and it will show you how much money you guys will save, and you will be shocked. So I just put in an order. I got some organic coconut oil. I got these little peach rings that look really good. I got some crackers, some waffle mix, and then I even got some coconut vanilla body lotion. I've been in need of some good body lotion, so I'm really excited to try that out. I got some little treats for Lady, and I'm stocking up. Honestly, you guys really need to try this out. I think, like I said, it's the ideal situation. You're saving money. You know it's good ingredients. And on top of that, we have a little discount code for you guys. So our listeners can get 25% off your first order plus a 30-day free trial to Thrive Market. So go to thrivemarket.com/whatwesaid. That is thrivemarket.com/whatwesaid. You guys are going to be obsessed. So now we're going to kind of get into procrastination, which is something that I have struggled with my entire life, and it has made my life much harder than it's needed to be. I mean, I've done it to myself, but I'm just saying, I am very much a procrastinator, always have been, and this book actually really helped me with this and made me think about it kind of in a different way. So first of all, to define procrastination really is pretty simple. It's that the more unattractive a task is, the more likely you are to put it off. And I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory, but I never really thought of it that way. But he was saying, if a task is boring or difficult or frustrating or it lacks in personal meaning, then the more likely you are to put it off until the last minute.
Yeah.
Because there's the example of putting your taxes off and instead watching Netflix. Because who really wants to sit down and do their taxes? It's not very rewarding. It's
Well, and he goes into like your brain anatomy. Like basically, yeah. I forgot. I'm just scared to say the parts of the brain because I don't have them written down. But basically like your cerebral, I'm pretty sure, mm-hmm. and the other part. So one of them's like logic and one of them's like reward, mm-hmm. emotional, whatever. So when it comes to tasks, like a certain task will be rewarding for the emotional side and some of them will be like rewarding for the more logical mm-hmm. side. And it's like when you give up and you watch Netflix instead of doing your taxes, the emotional side wins.
Right.
So it's like about fighting that side and
doing what needs to be done.
Yeah, and doing what needs to be done and not letting that side of your brain win.
Right. And he was saying that when you watch Netflix, that doesn't set off nearly as many triggers as doing your taxes does because
yeah.
Netflix is easy. It's fun. It numbs your mind. And mm-hmm. it's not a hard thing.
Yeah.
So it's like
– the best thing ever.
Yeah. So it's just – it's an obvious choice that that's more appealing to people.
Yeah. So he gives better examples like in the book, but just – to summarize it, he basically says, if that's happening to you, a good way to let that logical side of your brain win is to switch the triggers of certain tasks. So, for example, if we're still talking about taxes, if it's boring, like make it something where it becomes fun, like if you get it done. Or if it's like meaningless, find a meaning for it. And so that you can like switch it around so that your mindset is different about it. So I'm trying to think of like a good example of another task besides taxes.
Well,
but
he was saying something, I think even with the taxes example, where kind of a way to give that more of a positive meaning is if I do my taxes right, then something about like that'll free, first of all, then maybe he'll get a better tax return or something.
Yeah.
And then he can use that money for something that he loves, or it will free up his time. If he gets his taxes done now, then he'll have more time, you know, later this week to do something yeah. that he loves. So it's kind of about looking at it more in a positive light. And that can be with anything, like even working out versus like watching Netflix or something.
Yeah.
It's like that's more unattractive of a task because it might be really hard for some people. Maybe they're just getting started. So it's not a habit. And it's like, yeah, that sets off triggers in my brain. Like, I don't really want to go do that.
Yeah.
But if you can switch your mindset to like, I want a healthier body and this is how I'm going to do it. And you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing like we've talked about for eating healthy. It's like a lot of people think of it as I don't deserve that cookie. Like I can't have that cookie. I cannot have it. Like I don't deserve to eat that. Like whatever. But we talk about switching your mindset and it makes a world of difference if you switch your mindset to I deserve to not have that cookie because I know I'm not going to feel good after it. It just like makes my stomach hurt, whatever. But another one that I liked that he was talking about was if it's like an ambiguous task, make a plan for it. Because I feel like that is my biggest problem for procrastination is when there's not a set of instructions.
It's like and very unstructured.
Yeah. So it's like if there's something that's just looming over my head and I don't even know where to start, I don't try. Because I'm just such a person that needs like instruction. And if somebody wants me to do something or like, especially if it's like a task that has to do with other people, I want to know exactly what their expectations are. Like, I'm not just going to be like, oh, you want me to do this? Okay, I'm just going to go at it.
Do it my own way.
Yeah, I'm like, I want you to give me exactly what your expectations are so we can be on the same page. Like, I need to know every little detail. When I put any kind of furniture together, my husband just goes at it and I'm like, you're giving me anxiety. Like I need to follow the instructions. I need to set out every single tool and screw that they have, organize them so I know where to start. And so I like that he was saying like, if it's too ambiguous, sit down and make a plan. Like write down step one, step two, step three.
That's a huge one for me too.
Yeah.
I think that could help so, so much. And he was even saying some advice, and it sounds very simple, but some advice is just to get started. And that sounds much easier said than done, obviously, but if you really think about it, he suggested setting a timer for 15 minutes and just starting on the task. And chances are by the time you start and get into it, you're just going to be like, whatever, I'm already doing it. I'll just finish or I'll just, you know, go for longer. Mm-hmm. But and that's what I do for cleaning.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I don't enjoy cleaning that much, but I will set a timer for 15 minutes and it's almost like a game to me. I'm like, let's see how much I can get done in 15 minutes. And it's shocking how much you actually can get done. Like I'll I'll set a timer for 15 minutes, set it on my dresser, and then I'll start cleaning up my room. And by the time the 15 minutes is done, it honestly looks so much more clean. And then at that point, like he said, it's like I'm already doing it. So I'm like, I can finish up now. But it's just that getting started is the hardest part.
Mm-hmm.
And so for anything, if you can just set a timer or just commit to doing it for a certain amount of time, chances are that you'll realize it's not that bad.
Yeah, I love that.
Or, you know, you'll get it done.
Yeah, faster. It doesn't seem so daunting.
Right.
Another thing that he mentioned that I also like that I hadn't thought about, because I know I've definitely read and heard about like connecting to your younger self, like your more innocent self. And I love that. But he was saying, like, especially when it comes to setting goals, like getting in touch with your future self. So and it's such an important like visual thing to do. Or sorry, visualizing like exercise to do to be like, where do I want to be in 5 years? What do I, and I think I said this on my solo episode, like, where do you want to be in 5 years? Like, if you do everything right, where are you in 5 years? And it's like, okay, whatever. But a lot of times we see that person in 5 years as a stranger. Like, if you really think about it, it's like, oh, 5 years in me, person, kind of like he was saying, like, he's going to get up at 5:30 and work out. And it's like, okay, but your future self is still you.
Right.
So, like, what do you want to do in 5 years? Not what does this random person that you think you're going to be in 5 years, whatever. Like, to make it a reality, get in touch and, like, really figure out who your future self is in reality and not just making up some like 5 years, I'm going to have $5 million and I'm going to get up and I'm going to have like all these things. And it's like, that's not even me. Like, what do I actually really want to do in 5 years?
That's very, very true. I love that. All right, let's talk perfume and cologne, guys. Whatever scent you may be wearing, you obviously have your own taste. You know what you like. But we all know that buying and trying out different perfumes can get real pricey, and it's a journey. So if you're like me, you end up with a ton of half-used bottles. I have literally never used a full perfume bottle in my life, and I have so many that are just sitting that I never use. So with Scentbird, I have found a way to have great taste. It's been really fun using Scentbird to kind of mix up my fragrance routine and without breaking the bank. Let's talk about that. So I'm a sucker for Juicy Couture, the Viva La Juicy. I've loved that for years and years. They have that at Scentbird. I love the Dolce & Gabbana Light Blue. It smells amazing. Scentbird is awesome because you're not just blindly picking a scent and hoping that you like it. You answer a lot of questions about the specifics of what you like, and then it gives you recommendations. And you can also see reviews on it, and it makes searching really easy. With Scentbird, you choose the perfume you want to try, and then they will send you a 30-day supply, and it's 120 sprays, so you can apply more than 4 times daily for a month. So you're getting a bang for your buck with these little things, and they're so convenient. I've said this before, but I love traveling with them because it's just not realistic that you're going to bring a huge perfume bottle with you when you travel, but you still want to smell good day to day, you know? So I love putting these little Scentbird bottles in my bag because they can fit in your purse, in your little carry-on bag or whatever, and they're so awesome for that. There are more than 450 designer brands for you to choose a perfume or cologne from each month. We're talking Prada, Tom Ford, Versace, Rag & Bone, Gucci, like a million different ones. Not a million, but more than 450. And with an exclusive offer just for our listeners, you guys can get 50% off of your first month today. That is only $7.50 for your first fragrance. Go to scentbird.com/whatwesaid and use our code whatwesaid for 50% off your first month. Again, that is scentbird.com/whatwesaid for you to try your first perfume or cologne for just $7.50. Sign on and smell amazing, guys. Okay, so something he talked about is the rule of three. And basically, he said at the beginning of every day, and this is something he actually got from someone else, I believe, but I will say I've been doing this exercise and it has really, really helped me. So he says at the beginning of every day, mentally fast forward to the end of the day and ask yourself, when the day is over, what three things will I want to have accomplished? And then you write those three things down. And you do the same at the beginning of every week. So you have kind of like three bigger goals throughout the week.
Ooh.
And then every day you have three smaller things where you're like, you really just close your eyes, mentally think about at the end of the day, what would I be so happy to have accomplished? And you write down those three things. Okay.
I like the weekly one.
The weekly one is great too. And some people can maybe do, you know, this is what I used to do. I would write down a list of no joke 20 things that I needed to do in a day. Would never finish all of them because it just wasn't too even possible. And then at the end of the day, be unsatisfied because I'm like, great, I didn't get 10 of them done.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if I would have just picked the actual three most important things, and sometimes I'm like, wait, I can't pick three because there's more. Like, I do have I need to get more stuff. But it's like, start with three. Mm-hmm. Start with three. I don't know about other people. I'm the same that you were saying when it's like unstructured, I just can't even begin.
Mm-hmm.
So when I have a lot of things going in my mind where I'm like preparing for a trip and I have all these deadlines and I'm like, there's not three things only.
There's way 20.
More. But I start with three. Mm-hmm. So what I've been doing lately is I will physically write it down. I will write down the three most important things and I will start at number one and do them in order of importance. And once I get it done, I'm like, check, next.
Yeah.
Okay, check, next. And I will say it is so much more satisfying at the end of the day because you're like, you feel productive. You're like, yeah. I did all the things that, and I am happy that I got all of that done.
Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
That has been a really good exercise for me. And I think that can really help you guys if you're in the same boat. And even if you're not a natural procrastinator, like it's still good to, like you said, kind of visualize the things that you want, visualize the end of the day. That's something that I love that he says, is like visualize the end of the day, the end of the week, and then picture what you would just be so stoked to have done.
Yeah.
And then write that stuff down and do it.
Yeah. No, I really like that. And I like the beginning of the week one too, because the beginning of this year I started – well, okay, this is another thing that he talks about that I wanted to get into as well is like mind dumping. But in the morning, I would do six. So I feel like that's like an even.
Six things a day?
Yeah, like the six. I think it's a certain method and I feel bad because I can't give whoever made it up credit. But they say that like write down the six things that you want to do and then not in a particular order and then number them from like one to six in like order of importance.
Okay.
And then you have to finish them to completion before you go to the next one.
Which is so important.
Which, yeah, you have to finish it. And don't do like, oh, I have to finish this entire project. It's like, no, break it down.
Little steps. Yeah.
So I think three or six is like good. I'm actually thinking maybe I should do three because sometimes I don't get all six done, which I don't like stress out about that much. But three is like a great place to start, especially if you have three at the beginning of the week. Then you're way more focused on like, what's the end goal here?
Yeah.
Instead of just like, oh, I have to do these meaningless little things. But he talks about mind dumping, which if this isn't something you're already doing – guys, you need to do it. I actually am pretty bad at writing things down. I feel like you're good at it. Like, you're always like, oh, I wrote these things down. And I'll think about things all the time. And I never write them down. And he says that's such a waste of an idea. Because
mm-hmm.
it's gone. As soon as you're like, oh, I'll remember later. You will not remember. Yeah.
Well, that's how I got good at it. Is because I would have all these ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And I would never write a single one of them down. Yeah. And then I would have ideas for like, oh, people we can have on the podcast. Things we could talk about on the podcast. And I would forget all of them.
Yeah.
When I went to call you, I'm like, I can't remember any of the things I thought of last night.
Yeah.
Even I mean, I swear if my notes aren't backed up on iCloud, I'm so freaking screwed. I need to make sure they are because even I'll get ideas randomly at night of like, oh, that would be a cool YouTube video or something. And I always write it down. And I will seriously forget. Like the next day, I'll see that note and be like, I forgot about that already. Yeah. I didn't even remember that idea. So writing stuff down is so important. I always just do it in my notes because I have the notes app on my phone just because I have that always. But
yeah, he goes as far as he has like a waterproof notepad in his shower.
Oh, wow.
Because it's like.
Wait, that's actually, I love that.
Yeah, because he was, well, that's also another part that he talks about is giving your mind time to actually have ideas.
Yes.
Because he's like, if you notice, you're in the shower, you have all these ideas because you're not distracted by anything.
Totally.
So you start to think of all these things that you need to do or that like you want to try or whatever. But going back to mind dumping in and of itself, he's saying like when all of the things you need to do are in your head, it is so messy in there. You cannot even like – you don't have any space to think. So you have to mind dump. So like write everything down. And this is something my husband actually introduced to me because they would do that at his office. They would say, okay, it's like 3 p.m., mind dump. Like write everything on a piece of notepad or like on a piece of paper and just write down everything that you're thinking about, whether it's chores you have to do – something in your mind, an idea, like just write everything down. Doesn't have to be an MLA format or anything like that. But I started doing that in the mornings. I've been so bad at it for the last month, but I need to start doing it again because it is so freeing. Because literally it feels like you are emptying the trash. Like, you know, on your computer when you empty the trash and it's so satisfying. That's what it feels like.
Wow.
Because you're just like writing everything down. Like, oh my gosh, everything's floating around in my head. It's like filing them down. So it's like, okay, once they're on paper, they seem so much more doable.
I need to do that. I need to do that though, where in the morning I just dump everything.
I feel like you especially need to do that because you have like so much going on in your head all the time, I feel like.
Yeah, it's a struggle.
Well, that's how my husband is. He has so much in his head all the time. And so when he writes it down, it helps him have space and room to like get stuff done, actually.
No, I actually love
that. My voice
that.
Is fading every second
by
of this
the
podcast.
Second.
So I would do that. I would, in the morning, mind dump from the day before that night, like dream I had, just write down like morning pages is what I have called it or what I've heard other people call it. And then I would write down my things because then I kind of have a better vision of like things that I actually need to do or things I can wait or whatever.
Right.
Well, and then really I'm like free for the day. My mind feels so good for the rest of the day. And I've been terrible at it for a month. And now I'm wondering, or now I'm
realizing
why I've been stressed.
Okay, guys, let's talk about deodorant, shall we? And also, let's talk about the importance of using deodorant that is made of good ingredients. So I'm here to share the brand Native with you guys, and I'm really excited about it. This is actually one of my favorite deodorants that I've ever tried that's more on the natural side. I personally have the coconut and vanilla scent, and I really love it. I also love their branding. It's very minimal, cute, you know, that's important. So Native deodorant is formulated without aluminum, parabens, sulfates, and all that nasty stuff. It is filled with ingredients from nature. We're talking coconut oil, shea butter, tapioca starch. And they also do not test on animals, which is awesome. So Native has over 7,000 five-star reviews. This stuff actually works, you guys. I think my favorite part of it is that it feels like normal deodorant. And I feel like you will know what I mean if you've been on a journey to find a more natural deodorant. I've used some that are very oily. I've used some that just have a very odd consistency, but it goes on really smooth and nice and it smells delicious. Like I said, I have the coconut and vanilla scent, which I think is the most popular scent that they sell. But they have a variety of different scents like lavender and rose, cucumber and mint, eucalyptus and mint, and more. So another great thing is that they offer free returns or exchanges. So there is literally no risk at all. If you want to try it out and you don't like it, you are free to return it. As always, we have a discount code for you guys. So for 20% off of your first purchase, visit nativedeodorant.com/whatwesaid and use the code whatwesaid at checkout. Again, visit nativedeodorant.com/whatwesaid and use the code whatwesaid at checkout for 20% off your first order. I cannot wait for you guys to try it. Let us know how you like it. So this is something that I wanted to talk about, and there is a statistic that he shared in the book that says that the average American adult watches over 5 hours of television every single day. This blows my mind, first of all, but I think that it also kind of is equivalent to social media usage in today's, you know, world.
Yeah.
So I'm not much of a TV watcher. I actually never have been, but I really do think it's comparable to like how much time all of us spend
YouTube,
on social media.
Instagram.
Yeah. YouTube, Instagram, all that good stuff. So that's how I kind of am looking at it. And I think that's probably the best way that everyone at home can relate to it is because we're all on social media probably more often than we watch TV, at least for me. So he says, assuming that you live until you are 80 years old.
Oh, and I already know that where this is going and I'm scared.
And you started watching TV or using social media at age 10. That adds up to about 13.6 years of your life. And when I heard that, I actually, like my stomach, I literally like I felt sick. Because
You can do so much.
13 and a half years
you
of
can
your
become
life.
A master at
yes,
something.
An absolute master. In that time period. And that just like really was a reality check to me. And
I'm getting chills, but not in a good way.
And it made me want to throw my phone across the room. But seriously, I was like,
but
wow.
But then I got back on Instagram.
Yeah, then I started scrolling on Instagram like 5 seconds later. But
then I started watching TikToks. I don't watch TikToks.
He says, okay, hold on. TikTok's like being reinvented right now. It's currently like the new Vine kind of, which is shocking.
I know,
me.
And I feel like I have to get on it.
I know.
I'm scared
which
to.
Which is terrifying me.
Because that's just another thing I'm going to waste. Now it's 14 years. Had TikTok on there, 15.
I know. Staying tuned for that. But
can you
says,
imagine, hold on.
Okay.
Like a whole year of that is watching like a certain maybe YouTuber's videos you like. You dedicate a whole year to them.
Yeah, absolutely not.
No offense. But nobody deserves that.
Yeah. That is not okay.
Except for me and JC. Go watch our YouTube. Chelsea Jade and Jason Marie.
Go subscribe below. Well, he says that the biggest time waster in our world today is the internet. Because it's so distracting. It's yeah. so rewarding. It's so stimulating. There's always something new. Mm-hmm. And it's basically the opposite of what we were talking about before where, you know, the unattractive tasks that you don't want to do, they have like these negative triggers where you're like, I don't want to do that because this and this. It's the opposite where it numbs your mind and you do want to go on social media because it kind of takes you away from whatever you're dealing with. Yeah, if you're stressed, it's like, eh, I'll scroll through Instagram for a while. That kind of, you know.
Makes me forget.
Yeah, I'm just numbing my mind. So
it's literally like taking drugs. Okay, that's what he says also. Sorry, were you about to say that?
No, I wasn't, but that's
He was accurate. Saying when you get off the internet, it's like withdrawal. Like life it becomes is. Dull and you can get past that point. Because I think he was saying he got rid of the internet for this project because he tried all these things out, which is crazy and good for him. Well, but in order to write about it, he had to try them all.
Yeah, he did an experiment where he only got on his phone for an hour a day for a month.
Oh, yeah.
And he said that it changed his life.
I believe it.
He said that he got so much done.
I had a social media fast for a week. I have never been happier. I don't know. I mean, I'm addicted to it. So obviously I went right back after the fast.
It's so addicting. And it's like you just have to find ways to cut back because it's like.
You can't go cold turkey.
No, you can't. And also if you do, it's like you said, you go on a fast for a week, you're going to get right back. Like you miss it. Like once you get back on, you're like, oh my gosh,
like
I missed
withdrawal.
Out. Yeah, I missed out on so much. So it's like you have to find ways to kind of, I don't know, just use it less. And I sound like a broken record, but that's been helpful when I like muted a bunch of people. That helped me out because I don't have as much that I see. Whereas, you know, I follow, I don't know, 400, 500 people and so I'm seeing all their posts every single day, all their stories. It's like, that's enough to keep me occupied all day, to be honest.
You know what? We should try and challenge ourselves.
What?
To do at some point. Is to go on a trip and literally bring like old school phones. Because obviously we have to communicate. But like we should challenge ourselves to like go to like Fiji or something and not bring our phones. And just bring like a cellular like flip phone that we can only text call and call. Thing.
That is so good. Wait, that kind of like makes me
I'm
so
getting giddy thinking about it, but also
it makes me anxious. But also it makes me like we really should, or we should try. Well, I guess that's harder. I was gonna say we should still bring our phones, but we should try and just like never like have it on airplane mode and like never
leave it in the hotel.
Yeah,
room.
Leave it in the hotel room the entire time. Never.
Oh my gosh, that would be so cool.
That really would. That's a good.
We should
one,
do
Charles.
A retreat.
Oh, I'm like, we should with do a YouTube said, video on that. It's still all about technology.
No, but literally, like, and not make it something where it's like, eh, whatever. Like, somewhere where we would want to, like, be taking pictures and, like.
Wait, that makes me so anxious, though. Oh.
Like, going to literally, where am I thinking?
Like, it's sad. That's actually sad to me that when you're like, we should go to Fiji and, like, not take photos. I'm like.
Yeah.
Like, that makes me just feel, I'm like, wait, I have to take photos. But.
Maybe bring a disposable and that's it.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be cute.
Where you can't even look at the pictures. Like old school.
Mm-hmm. Loving it.
You guys.
Love the idea.
If you like this idea, go follow our Instagram.
And please comment on and say that we should do it.
And say that we should have a whole retreat where you're not allowed to bring phones. I'm sure that. I'm like, have you guys ever heard?
I'm sure a social media thing, fest?
But.
Yeah.
Gives us more time to gossip.
True.
Just gets worse habits after that.
No, I
we literally pick
so
up
great.
Drugs after we stop social media because life is so dull.
Well, something that he says is to a step that you can take is to disconnect when you're working on something important and to leave your phone in a different room and or turn it off, which is a really good idea, I think. If you're working on a project, even when I'm like prepping for a podcast, you know, thing like this, because these episodes, they do take prep work. Like we read books for them and we take notes and stuff. And I'm thinking, if I just, I mean, I guess I'm taking notes on my phone, but it's like, if I just had my laptop, and I know people like authors that write books, they'll have their laptop and they'll have it, something on their laptop where it's blocked from everything. They can't do anything on it. Something like that, where if I only had my notes app open on my laptop or whatever, and had my phone in a different room and then I was just reading and taking notes. I'm like, I would probably be so much more productive because I feel like it's so easy to get distracted. And even sometimes I'll be reading, like even on the plane or something, I'll be, well, I guess I had Wi-Fi on this past flight, but I would be reading and then like after 20 pages, I would just like get on Instagram. And I'm like, why do I need to do that?
It's like smoking cigarettes. It's like taking a smoke break.
It really is.
Because it's like even at work when you have a break. Like
that's what you do.
You have like a 15-minute break. You go in the break room and look on Instagram. It's literally like taking a smoke break.
It's so crazy.
So you're basically smoking cigarettes, you guys.
Like you're going to die. No, but that was a good – something good that I think, again, like is a good takeaway is thinking about those things that are important to you and turning off your phone and going – putting it in a different room. And something that I mentioned –
especially during your optimal energy times.
Yeah. And something that I mentioned on my one of my latest YouTube videos called Health Hacks is you kind of – it sounds dumb and cheesy, but you kind of, when you turn your phone off, take the power back where it's like – I feel like it's very easy to kind of have our lives – like have our phones kind of run our lives where it's like you're always responding to your emails, like other people's timelines, at least for us because like a lot of what we do is via email and always on Instagram and whatever because that's part of our job. And so it's easy to feel kind of ruled by that. And I think when you put your phone in the other room or you put on airplane mode and you're like, this is my time to do this, you kind of take the power back where it's like, I run my life.
Yeah.
I do what I want and I'm on my own timeline.
Yeah,
versus
I love that.
Just being so attached to
it. All day. And another thing he said too was like, how many times do people check their emails? Especially if you do a job like we do where it's like, sometimes you get a good email.
Right.
Where it's like exciting. So I feel like I'm always checking my email.
Same.
Like looking for that little reward of like a good email. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Someone reaching out, wanting to be on the podcast. And we're like, yay.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's like that could have waited a few hours.
Yeah. So he was saying, make it so that, because you can't just ignore your email either. Like you have to get back to people. But he's saying, maybe try putting it down to two different times in the day. Maybe like right when you get to work, check your emails. And then at the end of the day, check your emails. And set aside a good amount of time for – don't just check them and then like you have to do something else. Have like an hour and be like, this is my hour of emails. Like give yourself enough time to respond to them. Then all of your emails are done and then you do the next day from like, you know, whatever it is, 4 to 6, you answer emails. Or even DMs because I find that really overwhelming and I feel – a lot of guilt from that almost where it's like I get DMs and I have something that I want to say and I'm like, okay, I'll come back and say it later because I see it or I'll even read it and I'm like, okay, I have a response but I'll do it later because I don't have time. And then I never respond and I feel bad because I'm like, I should just set aside like an hour a day, go through my DMs when I have time.
And actually give people the response that they deserve.
Yeah. And go through an answer and then don't look at my DMs until the next time that I set aside.
I do that all the time too where I read it because I'll just accept it or whatever. I'll read it and then they can see that I saw it and they're asking me for tips on something. And I'm like, I need to send them that link. But then I'm doing something and I forget and then I realize that.
You just left them on red.
Yeah, I left them on red. And I'm like, crap, I didn't mean to do that.
But I know.
That's really smart to like set aside that time.
Yeah. And for emails, like whatever you have to do for work, whether it is like texting someone or like a phone call or whatever, responding to anything like that. Definitely don't do it all day. That's a good thing I really, really need to work on.
Yeah. Well, and then the next thing I had was that 80% of 18 to 44-year-olds check their smartphone within the first 15 minutes of waking up.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, I'm guilty of that as well. And I think that's something I try and work on all the time. But he was saying that he shuts his phone off from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he has just like a classic alarm clock. And
oh, cute. I want one.
Yeah.
I think I'm just going to get a regular alarm clock.
Yeah.
Because that's people's biggest excuse. They say like, well, my phone has my alarm clock. I'm like, buy an alarm clock.
Yeah.
Well, I say that so mad. I have not done that yet either. Yeah. Like, idiots, buy an alarm clock.
No, but I think that that's actually pretty realistic for most people and a really good idea to turn your phone off from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's hard, but I think it's like, what do you really need to be doing on your phone after 8 p.m. or before 8 a.m.? If you really think about it.
Yeah.
You don't need to be doing anything. So that's something that I really liked that he said, which is another takeaway. Haven't done that yet, to be honest, but I do try really hard. I realize that I fall asleep so much faster if I put my phone down.
Yeah.
And I'm just not on it for you know.
Yeah.
The first, like the, like 30 minutes before I go to mm-hmm. bed.
Well, and no one's going to, like, my fear is when I do leave my phone somewhere and the rare occasion that happens, I come back and, like, my fear is that I've missed, like, the most important text of my life or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's not realistic.
It's not realistic.
Like, even when I fall asleep and you've texted me because I'm, my time is earlier than JC, so I usually go to bed earlier. Like, later, even when you text, right? I go to bed earlier than you do.
Oh, right, right, right.
Well,
but your time is later.
Technically, yeah, I don't. Okay, let's not even get into time zones because it confuses me so much. Anyways, I go to bed at the time where you're usually like up and doing stuff.
Yeah.
Because I'm 2 hours ahead. And even when you text me, it's not the end of the world if I don't text you till tomorrow in the morning.
No.
You know what I mean? So it's like, don't use that as an excuse either, because sometimes I find myself doing that.
Well, and even if you, the reason that he or people turn it off is because it is so easy to just.
You see it light up.
Yeah, you see it light up and you're just like, oh, I'll just reply to this. And the next thing you know, you're on Instagram for 20 minutes.
Literally.
So I think that's kind of the power of like turning on airplane mode or turning it off completely versus just like, oh, I won't check it from those times. It's like,
yeah.
But you probably will, to be honest.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the beauty of that.
Don't trust yourself. Okay, the last part that I've been listening to that I've really liked and that we've kind of talked about is he calls them hot spots, but I call them primary food. And it's the, all the areas of your life. So he's saying evaluate all the areas of your life to kind of feel like your life is more in check and that you're being productive. Like look at all the areas of your life. So like finances, relationships, career, creativity, like health, any part of your life. Like write down all the things that you want to work on or that you want to be more productive in or goals that you have. And in that way, you can kind of even everything out and it'll be like balanced. You'll feel productive in your life. Because even if you're doing, you're just working completely on your health, but you're completely just forgetting about your finances. It's like you're still not going to feel productive. You're right. Still going to feel
out of control.
Out of control. So you have to look at all of the areas of your life. And he says like start by writing down all of the goals in all your areas and start writing down things that you want to do or things that you want to accomplish and then kind of start from there. And see like what you really need to pay attention to.
Is there somewhere that some people can look up kind of those categories? Like if you look up primary food table, would that if you is look that going to give you literal food?
Okay, wait. Actually, there's like a little exercise that you can do online.
Okay,
I don't know what the URL is exactly. It's the Circle of Life activity, and it has all 12 areas, and you basically just rate them from like 1 to 10, how satisfied you're feeling. And then from there, you can kind of see which areas are being neglected and which areas are, you know, being fulfilled and you're paying a lot of attention to. That doesn't have to do with like writing down the goals though. So maybe you can start there and then go write down like in each area, kind of evaluate. I do that with my clients is like the first thing we do is go through each area and I have them rate it and then tell me why and like things they want to work on in that area. So maybe do that too. I don't know. Anyways. That was like basically the last part that I read that I was like, I love this. He calls them hot spots.
Okay.
But I think it's really important to think about that.
Definitely. Well, kind of the last thing that I wanted to end on and just like challenge you guys to do, I guess, is, I mean, we've been talking about it this whole time, but just to
be productive.
Yeah. I'm like, that's it. To disconnect for at least 30 minutes or put your phone in airplane mode, turn it off during like dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Is a good time, I think, to do that. Or when you are working on an important task that does require your energy, I really would challenge you guys to just try it out because I think you'll be surprised at, number one, kind of how hard it is, which is a reality check in and of itself, realizing that turning your, for me at least, it's like turning my phone off and putting it in a different room for 30 minutes is like kind of a struggle. And I reach for it. I'm like, you know,
looking for it.
And then I'm like, oh, it's in the other room. And so that's kind of been a reality check for me to realize how attached I am to it and how I kind of want to let go of that aspect of my life a little bit. So I think that's something, I mean, there's so many takeaways. I hope that you guys wrote down some notes and like can do more things at home. But that's something I think is like starting with small steps. Like we said, it's not realistic to just be this like health nut and completely turn your life around and be so productive every day just from listening to this episode. But if you can just write down those small steps that you can start with, I think that's really a really good place to start.
Yeah, I love that.
Do you have anything else?
No, good? I mean, I would highly suggest at least taking a couple of these challenges that we talked about. If you didn't take notes while we listened, honestly, listen again and take notes or read the book, The Productivity Project by Chris Bailey, and actually put it to work.
Yeah.
Because for the first couple exercises that he was reading, or sorry, the first couple exercises that he suggested, I kind of like blew over them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I need to do these.
Yeah.
Like, I am the epitome of listening and then forgetting completely. Yeah. So I need to like actually do them. And they make such a difference if you write it down on paper or even on your notes in your phone. But there really is something like powerful about paper and pen.
There is, I will admit. So I need to do it more. Okay, well, thank you guys so much for listening. Hope you gained – wow, Chelsea, that was a big
one. Sorry, guys.
Hope you gained some inspiration and some motivation, maybe some excitement. I think it's sometimes fun to realize that you're in control of your life and you can actually, mm-hmm. like, make changes because it's fun to realize that
you could become productive. The most freeing thing is accepting responsibility, truly.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Ooh, I'm writing a book called that.
Ooh. Thank you guys for listening. If you guys want to follow our What We Said Podcast Instagram, go ahead and do that. It's at What We Said Podcast. If you enjoyed listening to this episode and you think other people would enjoy listening to it too, make sure to screenshot your phone right now and screenshot the episode and tag us on Instagram so we can shout you out and, you know, write back to you guys. And if you want to feel, you know, extra, if you want to feel extra productive, then you could rate and review the podcast.
Nice.
If you're interested.
Yeah.
But that is going to be it. We will see you guys next week. And
that is what we said.
Goodbye.